From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made just over 24 hours ago at the Monroe County Office Building. Monroe County Executive Cheryl Donolfo held her first news conference in about 2 months, seeking to clear up any remaining confusion about the scandal related to I-Square and the politicization of Comita, the county's industrial development agency. Donolfo said that she had no knowledge of just about anything that was happening while it was first happening during the scandal. She didn't know that her closest aide, Justin Roy, had shared inside information from Comita with the Republican Party chairman, Bill Reilich. She didn't know that the information Roy shared was incorrect. She didn't know that Reilich intended to use it to try to politically damage the new county clerk, a Democrat, Adam Bello. And Donolfo says when she found all of this out, she had to ask for the resignation of Justin Roy because he had lied to her and had hurt the community. Now, about Justin Roy. He is certainly taking the fall for the scandal. He lost his job for the county. Soon after losing his job a few weeks ago, speculation began circulating that he might land on his feet. Cynical taxpayers wondered if he would have some kind of political patronage position, maybe RTS, maybe the County Water Authority. Well, according to 13 Wham News, Roy just got hired by a Comita board member, Jay Popley, at the Popley Design Group, which is an architectural and engineering firm. Was Roy qualified for that job? How much is he going to make? No one is saying. Cheryl Donolfo said yesterday, before shutting down questions, that Justin Roy has an MBA, and she thinks he probably is qualified for that kind of a job. She didn't indicate that she had any concern over the fact that the man who allegedly caused this political scandal is now getting hired by a board member of Comita. Well, Democrats have expressed some concerns. County Legislator Jim Shepard has asked for the Attorney General's office to look into the matter. And this hour, we want to talk about the future of Comita and whether the scandal needs any more investigation. Let me welcome my guests who are in studio for the hour. Jim Shepard is here, the former Rochester police chief, who is now a Democrat on the Monroe County Legislature. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, sir.
And Mark Moyo is here, also a Democrat on the Monroe County Legislature. Mark, welcome to you as well.
Thanks, Evan.
I want to make it clear, we invited, first of all, the county executive, Cheryl Donolfo. We're told she had a prior commitment and could not make it. We invited every Republican on the legislature, all 19 of them. We heard back from the president of the legislature, that is Anthony Danielli. He's traveling on business today, but I had the chance to record this interview with the Republican leader this morning. Did you see the news conference with the county executive yesterday, and what did you make of it?
I didn't see it, but I listened to it. So, I thought it was very good of her to make the statements that she made. I feel that at this point, the facts are all out on the table. You know, there was, I guess, some new information yesterday. But to be honest with you, you know, our district attorney has already looked at this and said that there was no legal improprieties that happened. And, you know, to be honest with you, as the president of the legislature, as the governing body of this community, my focus now is moving forward, filling these vacancies with quality individuals so that we have a well-rounded Comita board and focus on economic development and jobs and not, frankly, a witch hunt to try to find out more information. I think we've reached the bottom of the barrel of as far as information goes. There's nothing out there. And, you know, Legislator Shepard, obviously, has been calling for investigations. Legislator Muyo called for investigations before. I am not a proponent of putting five or six or seven politicians in a room and expecting to have a productive outcome in investigating each other. There are other agencies to do so. And Jim Shepard, you know, he's asked the controller and the attorney general, who are certainly busy doing other investigations right now, to take a look at this. And if that's something that those departments feel is appropriate, then I'm sure all the parties involved would be more than happy to cooperate.
I understand the points you're making. I want to try to make sure I understand your own view of this, not only as a legislative leader, but as a taxpayer. So on two separate points here, you told WROC-TV when they asked if you thought government was essentially behaving well or if anybody had done wrong in government, you kind of said you didn't think government leaders had done wrong here. And the implication some took from that comment was you left out political leaders. Do you think Bill Reilich made a mistake with what he did? Do you have a problem with what he did with the information he was given?
I think the chairman stated yesterday that if he had it to do over again and had all the information correctly, he probably would not have made the statement that he made. But, you know, let's separate politics and, you know, we're talking at, you know, in this context, we're talking about the chairman of the Republican Party. There certainly have been many, many times where the chairman of the Democratic Party, you know, that's kind of the game they play. And, you know, to be honest with you, I try to stay out of that and focus on doing the business of government. I think Cheryl tries to stay out of that, which is a good thing. But unfortunately, it's a necessary evil in politics. And I think that's what that's about.
When it comes to Justin Roy, Cheryl DeNolfo said yesterday that she was disappointed in him, that he was someone who's been close to her for a long time. And she appeared to be earnestly emotional about that decision of having to essentially fire him or ask him to resign. But I will also say this, Anthony, ever since things kind of came out 4 or 6 weeks ago with Justin Roy, if you read community discussions, whether it's on social media or anywhere else, taxpayers were almost joking about the fact that Justin Roy was going to get a job and that was sort of a preordained thing. Now, a lot of people joke, well, he'll go to RTS or he'll go to the Water Authority. He didn't. He's not going to be paid by our tax dollars. 13WAM reporting that he's getting a job through one of the remaining Comita board members. And we haven't heard anybody dispute that that's true. I'm assuming that that report is accurate. If that's accurate, even if he has an MBA and he's qualified, do you have any concern that someone who was engaged in what everyone sort of agrees now was a political hit job, a month after losing that job, gets a high-paying job through a Comita board member? Do you have any concern about that?
Again, Evan, you know, we're talking, this is a small town. We have a lot of boards and commissions in the community. I mean, I've had this conversation with other people privately where it is very, very difficult in the business community not to keep bumping into each other. And I am not, you know, first of all, I don't know if it's a high paying job. I have heard that he was hired by Popley. You know, he certainly has a background that would qualify him to work for any engineering firm in the community. And I can tell you that if you've got a different job or the same job at a different engineering firm, odds are good that one of the executives of that firm sits on a board somewhere in the community. I'm not sure that, you know, the board member had anything specifically to do with the hiring. I guess I'm not sure that they didn't, but I do, you know, I don't see, I think that's reaching for straws. I think it's, you know, whether, I don't think it's inappropriate. You know, if it were to come out that, you know, Justin did get a job at you know, at one of the authorities, I think that's a different conversation.
Okay. Would you think it's inappropriate if Justin, in the crossfire of all of this stuff with iSquare and Comita, was told privately, hey, somebody's got to take the fall, but you will get a job. We'll take care of you. That's what some taxpayers think happened. I have no evidence that that happened. But can you understand, two questions here. Can you understand why taxpayers would be cynical about it? And if that were the case, would that be a problem?
Again, I mean, that's pretty presumptuous. I don't believe that that's what happened. Again, I have no way to know for certain that that didn't happen. But as I said, I know, or from what I've heard, Justin put his resume out there. I mean, he has a family and he was looking to replace his income.
But a lot of people are unemployed, somewhere. Anthony. A lot of people don't have jobs. There's a lot of people who are probably qualified for certain jobs. I mean, the implication is that Justin's the only guy who was qualified for that job. And isn't that also presumptuous?
No, I don't think that's the implication. I think the implication is Justin went out, he applied for jobs in a lot of different places, probably interviewed with a lot of different places and got an offer from this engineering firm and thought that was a good job. And the engineering firm thought, you know, that he was qualified individual for that job. I think it's speculation. Can I appreciate the fact that some folks in the public could, you know, make up a scenario that sounds unethical? Sure, I can understand that. But again, you know, I think this has kind of turned into a little bit of a witch hunt, and people are making up stories and, you know, stretching far, far outside the limits of, you know, what makes sense. I mean, you know, we can make up a lot of stories here and implicate a lot of different people and you know, I don't see that,
okay,
personally.
Now, on Comita, looking forward now, you've got four vacancies. The county executive didn't take many questions yesterday, and I know a lot of people were hoping to ask her about the plan to fill those positions, how you do it, how you make sure you do it in sort of an equitable fashion. What do you want to see happen? What needs to happen with Comita that will make sure that this is a board that can do the duty that it needs to do and serve taxpayers effectively?
So we're just starting the process right now of accepting resumes and cover letters. The priority is not necessarily how fast can we fill four vacancies. Certainly, you know, I'm not comfortable with just having a three-member board, although everything that I've learned, it is legal and Comita can function with three members. It's not ideal. So, you know, we are looking at interviewing and for my office to be recommending to the legislative body quality individuals that will round out the board. We've typically had people from representing local labor. We've had somebody in there with a finance and accounting background, somebody with some legal background. So the priority is putting quality individuals on that board. Certainly economic development is very important to this community. And Comita, as much as, you know, again, there's a lot of negative talk about Comita and economic incentives, but it is legal, and it's the game that is being played by other communities in Western New York and across the country, and it is what allows us to compete in the economic marketplace, and that's what creates jobs or facilitates the private creation of jobs.
So when it comes to the way Comita operates going forward, there's one specific point that I want to make sure I address, which is that Teresa Mazzullo has said, you know, she was kind of sticking to the long-held Comita playbook, which is that they don't really talk to the news media, that they do their work, they put their heads down, they try to serve taxpayers. And I understand that because in some ways that leaves you out of politics, out of some of the potential controversy. But it also makes it very hard for taxpayers to feel like they understand the process, particularly because a lot of people have made some hay over this Comita never votes no. And what Judy Sile and others in the past have said was, it's not that Comita doesn't vote no, it's that they sort of pre-vet these projects, and if anything gets to a vote, it's really been vetted already. But a lot of that vetting doesn't really happen in the public eye. And so what I'm wondering is this, going forward, should there be more safeguards to make Comita more transparent to taxpayers, more understandable to taxpayers, and whoever ends up on the board, should they shut down media inquiries as well in the same way that's always been done, or should they be willing to at least answer questions?
Yeah, that's a good point, Evan. And I know that part of Cheryl's comments yesterday were the fact that her office is going to be looking at Comita and making some recommendations on how Comita can run more effectively, efficiently, transparently. I certainly echo that, and that's something that my office has already started looking at. What are the best practices for an IDA? What have other communities done? What other model communities, model IDAs are there out there? And making sure that we are, recommending best practices. It is difficult sometimes to balance the media, what is a media inquiry that is, wasting time and taking away from the focus of, what the organization, in this case, Comita, is supposed to be doing, and, ducking and running from the media because the, lack of transparency. So I think that's an important balance. Certainly, I have the highest respect for Teresa. I mean, her and the other board members, those are volunteer positions. They put a lot of energy into that board. And, I sat on that board when I was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee. That's a standard seat on the board. So I know how much work goes into it. And I do believe that the projects are very, very thoroughly vetted by a lot of different people. And they do a great job. But again, echoing what Cheryl said, I think it is important to take a look at Comita from top to bottom, and if some changes should be recommended and made in that IDA, then I'm sure that's you know, that's one of our priorities moving forward.
All right, two more quick questions because I know you got to go. A prominent conservative talk show host in this community wrote a column last night saying that the real problem with this whole mess over the last couple of months has been Bill Rylick and that he should resign. Do you agree or disagree?
Again, you know, that's political baseball. And, you know, as the president of the legislature and as a busy guy in the business community, I try not to focus on that kind of stuff. I mean, again, you know, we talked about, you know, why did Bill say what he did? Would he have done it differently? But, you know, that part is politics, and I prefer to stay out of that.
And when it comes to future investigations, it sounds like your message to your fellow Democrats in the legislature is that you are not interested in sort of digging through past material anymore, that you think everything's been answered, you want to move forward. So whether it's Jim Shepherd, and he's actually also called on the AG's office, you know, sort of beyond county politics, but whether it's Jim Shepherd or Mark or Cindy on the Democratic side, you don't think that there is any need for any future and further investigation. Is that correct?
I don't think the legislature performing an investigation is efficient or effective. You know, Jim Shepherd has asked the state attorney general's office and the controller on several occasions to look into this. Whether they are or they are not, I don't know. I'm sure if they'd like to look into it, all the parties involved would be happy to comply. And frankly, those are the offices that are skilled and effective at looking at these things. As I said before, putting a group of elected officials in a room and saying, you know, let's do investigating is not very effective. I mean, it's effective, you know, political pounding your fist on the table, but, you know, it's not efficient. So.
But there's going to be an ethics office, and right now there is not an ethics office. So I think one of the Democrats' messages, hey, if we had an ethics director, if we had an independent ethics office already in place, this would be in their court. We wouldn't have to step in. But right now we don't, which is why we are stepping in. That doesn't really hold any water with you?
And it's a valid statement that, you know, when that office is put together, which I do know that the administration is working diligently. I believe they've closed their period, their advertised period of accepting resumes for that. I would expect that they're going to put forth a name as a director of the Office of Public Integrity that we bipartisanly voted to put together earlier this year. And frankly, Jim Shepherd was the only person in the 29-member body to vote no for that, which I'm sure he had his reasons. But, you know, if that board or if that Office of Public Integrity is put together and is operational in the next 2 or 3 months, nothing prevents that board from looking back 6 months at this situation. If we feel that's appropriate, that would be a very appropriate office to take a look at the situation.
That is Anthony Danielli, the president of the Monroe County Legislature, leader of the Republicans in the legislature, taking time for us about 90 minutes ago. He's on a plane right now, but that interview recorded about 90 minutes ago. And so as we devote the rest of the hour to this conversation live here in studio with a couple of Democrats in the county legislature, Jim Shepherd and Mark Moyo, I'll let our listeners know, we'd like to hear from you on this. Do you agree with Anthony Danielli that we've reached the bottom of the barrel with this, that there is no more need for further investigation? Or do you still have any questions? Do you want to see any kind of either independent or county legislature investigation? 844-295-TALK. Toll free, 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Jim Shepherd, I'm going to start with you. You have called, among other things, you've called for the AG's office to take a look, and you do say you've got concerns about Justin Roy. Again, if you're just joining us here, Cheryl DiNolfo's close aide, she's known him for a long time. She has said he was the guy who kind of sparked this scandal, shared information, inside information on a business, I Square, with the Republican boss for the purpose of using it in a political hit. The information didn't even turn out to be true. But she has said he was the guy, that he had to take the fall, that she was disappointed in him, that he lied. He loses his job. 6 weeks later, he apparently has got a new job. It just so happens to be with a Comita board member's company. And you heard Anthony Danielli say he thinks that's a coincidence, that he probably applied for a lot of jobs in this community, that it's a small community, that he doesn't think there's a connection there, and that he doesn't think it really merits for a further look. You disagree?
Well, I think in terms of whether it's incorrect or correct or not, it's what it looks like on its face. And I think that's what stands out, not just for us as county legislators, but for just your average citizen who, as you know, for the last 2 months have said he's going to land on his feet because they're going to take care of him. And it appears that he's the only person in this whole thing who has had no comment. And you think that that might be a factor in that. And I want to take you backwards to when this first came open. And she initially had talked to him, and he said that Teresa Mazzullo had reached out to him.
The head of committee, the chair of the board, yep.
You know, and the first step for me would be to go talk to Teresa before I open my mouth. And so the fact of the matter is that that didn't happen until after there was a press conference, and then Teresa Mazzullo raised up and said, you're disrespecting me because that's not what happened. And so for me, that would be the first thing for any investigation is to listen to all the parties before you make any determination.
So in other words, Jim, it sounds like you think the county executive has been lacking some curiosity about some of the details on this?
Again, for me, if my people came to me and said that they talked to you and you said X, Y, and Z, the next step would be for me to come to you and say, what happened or what did you say? Now, there may be disagreement, but at least I've got both sides of the story. But not to have both sides of the story and then come out and say, this is what happened, and then have to backtrack and say, oops, we made a mistake. That's just basic inquisitiveness that you would expect.
But Jim, Anthony Danielli just said in this interview, if Justin Roy had gotten a job with RTS or the Water Authority, it'd be different. But this is a private company. It's a Commuter Board members company, a person who I think is a Republican. I thought all the Commuter Board members besides Mark Sewick were Republicans. But he's saying that's not really relevant here, that Justin Roy's a smart guy, that he's got a resume, that he was unemployed, he's got a family to take care of, and that he was probably putting his resume out all over the community. It just so happened that he got the job with a Commuter Board member. And what proof do you have that there was a quid pro quo?
I think when you talk about ethics and you talk about integrity, it's not always something that's illegal. It's things that on their face make people believe that you're not being truthful or you're not being forthright or being transparent. And so I think that when we look at this scenario and look at past scenarios, there have been indicators that should have warned people that, you know what, maybe this isn't the best move at this time because of the circumstances that are involved.
Okay. And so, Jim, you asked the AG's office to get involved. Why the AG specifically?
My position in terms of reaching out to the AG and the comptroller is simply that, you know, a lot of times we're just focused on the fact that somebody reached into Comita. For me, it's even a little bit larger because if you could reach into Comita and have somebody take action, such as get in your car on a Sunday, go drive over there, make a determination, have somebody write a letter saying they're out of compliance. If you can get somebody to do that politically, what else could you do politically in terms of Comita? And Comita has done like millions of dollars of tax breaks and various projects. And so it's just a matter of looking at it from not just the microscopic view, but taking a telescope and saying, let's look at the big picture, because there's indicators here, you know, where they always say, well, there's smoke, there's fire. There's smoke here.
Mark Moyo, you had sort of a lot of reactions. I was trying to figure out what you might be thinking when you heard Anthony Danielli there, your colleague on the legislature. So let me just start broadly speaking there. What stood out to you in that interview?
You know, President Danielli stated initially that the DA's office had taken a look at this and found that there was no legal improprieties, that nothing illegal has gone on. And I've said before that that is a new low for county ethics and for county transparency to say, well, since no crime has occurred or no felony can be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, everybody's good in my book. I think that's setting the bar very low and is not how we want to run county government. That's not the county government that I want to be a part of. And so I think we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard.
He said that right now, an investigation on the county level would be political. Anthony Danielli saying, you get Democrats in a room, of course they're going to have negative opinions on a Republican administration, or essentially that's what he's saying, is that what's the use in an investigation on the county level? We don't have an ethics office. The county executive tried to answer at least all of the timeline questions, even though she certainly left that news conference yesterday before many, many other questions were asked. But at the same time, he's saying, we've got what we need here. It's not like we don't know what happened. What are you going to accomplish? So what do you want to see happen, and what do you say to Danielli's point there?
There are a number of questions that I still think are open. And that's the second time I've heard the argument that the legislature is not equipped to investigate something that's gone on in county government, because in were politicians, people who have accepted donations for political purposes, people who attend political functions. And my reaction to a statement like that is that that kind of hits at the heart of representative government to say that we are responsible for doling out all the public's money, the tax money, to fix roads and to fund various ventures, but that we can't investigate ourselves. That's almost the purpose of a legislature, is to hold meetings, to find facts, to have people testify in front of us, and then to make decisions. And it's a basic function of a legislature. It's allowed within our legislature. And so I don't think that it's out of bounds to have politicians looking into things. That's the basis of representative government, to hand it over to unelected bureaucrats and say, these are the people who are good. These are the people who can do things independently, even though the prospective director of the OPI is going to be nominated or appointed by Cheryl DeNolfo. In that view, everything is political. So there's no difference between the legislature doing that and a political appointee doing that.
Okay. Jim Shepherd, you want to weigh in there? Go ahead.
The comment about it being political in nature, too. If you go back to the LDC scandal, that was expressed to be a political hit job. 4 years later, it turned out to be the truth. And I think that's what is a driver here, is that you can't just say because somebody who's in a different party raises issues that it's political in nature. The facts will speak for themselves. There's going to be allegations made at times that are proven to be untrue, and there's going to be times where you have things explored that the facts determine that something inappropriately was done. And I think that it's very unwise for us to be in a position where we're afraid to look at ourselves or afraid to look at each other and determine what the truth is, because the truth will set you free. And I believe that if looking at Comita, looking at county government, taking that opportunity, whether it's the OPI or whether it's the state, the truth is going to come out. And if nothing's done, we can all applaud and say, great, and let's move on and forget about it and then put it in the past. But to put it in the past before it has been fully looked at, that is a mistake, and it's wrong for us in terms of being servants to the community of Monroe.
All right, let's get our only break of the hour, and when we come back here, we get to your questions that have been coming in on a number of different angles here, including a question about what kind of email accounts county government leaders are using and why. And it may seem sort of esoteric, but it actually hits at one of the important questions that was raised and in some ways answered yesterday by Cheryl DeNolfo, but there are still some questions there. So let's get that short break, and we'll come back and take more of your questions on this next. Coming up in our second hour, are millennials really that different from previous generations? It depends on who you ask. But a recent spate of stories in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal focuses on what millennials need in the workplace. What are the conditions and what are the demands they have from modern companies? We'll talk about millennials at work next hour. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Here is Will writing an email to the program on the I-Square controversy. And he writes, it isn't so much what the county executive apologized for. I'm guessing she did not appreciate the level of political scandal the Republicans had engaged in during the Brooks administration. But the question is if Bill Reilich should be the one who is apologizing. As a Town of Greece resident, I have wondered how much time and when does Mr. Reilich perform his duties as town supervisor and as Republican Party chair. It should be Mr. Reilich who should be resigning from at least one of these positions. That's from Will, who is a Greece resident. Jim Shepherd and Mark Moyo, county chairs are often people who work in politics. You know, Joe Morelli was a party chair for a while on the Democrat side. He, of course, is a majority leader in the Assembly. I didn't hear anybody complaining about wearing those two hats. Inherently, Mark, do you have any problem with a town supervisor being a party chair?
Not inherently. No, I don't.
Okay. Jim?
I do not either. I think my issue is that when that county chair is able to reach into county government and dictate things that he would like to see done to push his political agenda, that's when it's wrong.
Okay. And right now, Mark Moyo, do you have confidence that Cheryl DeNolfo is the head of county administration? You know, you saw Dave Andreotta, who is a columnist for the Democrat and Chronicle, saying today on Twitter, he thinks the real outstanding question is who's actually running county government. Is that a fair question?
I think it is a fair question to that needs to be answered. That it does seem that Mr. Rylick holds a lot of sway, both in the county office building as well as in parts of the legislature. I'd like to see those questions answered. Mr. Rylick can make public statements, can basically, through his actions, show that he is not what some might call a puppet master. But that is yet to be seen.
Tim in Pittsford sends an email about Bill Rylick, and he points to one part that I think when you look at what has happened here, there is definitely at least one place where you know someone was not telling the truth. And that was Bill Rylick early on here, and Tim hits on that. Here it is. He says, the real question is for Bill Rylick. He at first said he found out information about iSquare by going online, but not long after that, it was revealed he found out information about iSquare from Justin Roy, not from going online. How he escapes all of this is beyond me. It's obvious that Rylick is the puppeteer, and for some reason, no one in the Republican Party will actually stand up to him. I would say he needs to go, but I know he would land on his feet at another job that just so happens to be run by another Republican. That is from Tim in Pittsford. Tim, look, you can think what you want about the totality of Tim's statement. He is correct that Bill Rylick said early on, hey, I just got the iSquare information. I've gone online many a times. I know how to find information on commuter projects. Well, media tried to find it online, could not do it, and then it was later revealed it was Justin Roy. It was allegedly Justin Roy sharing that information. So Tim's right about that, but John in Rochester wants to defend Bill Rylick, I think. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Evan. Politics is a dirty game. There's no doubt about it. And I have to number one, to have Eric Schneiderman, Tom DiNapoli, investigate this, to me is like putting a fox in the hen house. Schneiderman especially is very, very partisan, but that's another story. But as far as Rylick goes, as a political head of a party, his job is to maximize as much information that he can to keep the party, and I'm not a Republican, by the way, but keep the party above the other party, in this case, Democrats. And he got this information from Justin Roy, who made a big mistake, and he paid for it with his job. What Rylick did with the information, to me, is okay. Maybe not from a pure ethical standpoint, but it's something that politicians do. And I think to hold Rylick more accountable from a criminal standpoint or even a civil standpoint, I think isn't right.
John,
he's doing what he had to do, and Roy paid for it with his job. And he's a young guy. Roy's a young guy. And I was really disappointed to hear in the last interview with Daniele that, Evan, you sound a little bitter that Justin Roy got a job. Here's a guy with a family, young guy.
No.
Capable guy. We're in a small town. Whatever. So he paid the price big time.
All right. So, John, hold on, though, because stay on the line there. I'm not taking a position, but I am asking questions because I think there is a responsibility to ask questions when the following happens. When you have a political scandal, and now we don't have to pretend we didn't have one. At least everyone agrees that there was a political scandal. When that happens, and the person who caused it and has caused apparently a lot of harm in the community and is taking a fall for that, turns around and gets a job very quickly in an economy in which there's plenty of people besides him who are out of work and are looking for work, when he turns around very quickly and gets a job, and he just so happens to get a job with a company that is run by a board member of Comita, the agency at the center of the scandal, it's my job to ask the question if there was a quid pro quo. It's not my job to say there was. I don't know that there was. And I told Anthony Daniele, I have no evidence of it. I wanted to know if Anthony Daniele has the intellectual curiosity to think, at the very least, we better check this out. And he said, no, his instinct is to think you're stretching. Others are saying, no, the logical thing is to look on its face and say, 6 weeks later, you're working for a board member at the center of the scandal. It looks like there was a deal. I'm not saying there was, but we have to ask, John. We have to.
Oh, I understand that. But to me, this is not a big scandal. It should have been settled when Roy resigned, and that should be the end of it.
Yeah, I think that's a very a somewhat common position for some taxpayers in the community. And John, I appreciate that position. So let me ask the legislators, Mark Moyo and Jim Shepard are here. Mark, John is saying, asked and answered. You got your guy. You got Justin Roy. He's already paid a price. Move on.
I've heard that from a number of people. I have some questions about Justin Roy's authority to bind the County of Monroe or Comita into hiring or ordering work from Harris Beach, that memo that was written the day after the Palm Sunday inspection of I-Square. Does Justin Roy, in his capacity as the assistant county executive, does he have the power to call up the attorney and order that legal work to be done? I haven't received an answer to that. I've asked that question of numerous legislators and in the media. I've not received an answer from the Republican Party, from Ms. DeNolfo, or anyone else for that matter. So as a lawyer myself, that's an important question both for the county, whether taxpayer funds were expended improperly, and for the attorneys on the other side, whether they started doing work without their client authorizing. And I think that's a huge deal. And that's actually, if you take a look at the first statement, that Teresa Mazzullo was claimed to be the person who was told to call your attorney and have them do whatever you think needs to be done. Well, that gets rid of that issue because Teresa Mazzullo, I understand, would be able to employ the attorneys to do that. But I don't know that Justin Roy can do that. And that was stated explicitly yesterday by County Executive DeNolfo that Justin Roy called the attorneys and ordered that to happen. Does he have the authority to do that? I don't know.
And to John, to follow up here, from my position as a journalist, there are certain things that we have to ask, and there are certain, at least, baseline assumptions that you have to make going forward. If this is the end of it, if we're moving on, and we have the narrative as currently constructed, you have to believe a number of things. You have to believe, number one, that it was just a coincidence that Justin Roy got a job with a Comita board member, you know, 6 or 8 weeks after he had to resign for causing the political scandal. You have to believe that. To believe that Cheryl DeNolfo did not know that her closest lieutenant, Justin Roy, her closest lieutenant going back a decade or more, for you to believe that she did not know what he was doing, you have to also believe that he didn't share it with her, that she wasn't in touch with him on this, and when Bill Reilich was getting ready to release his statement attacking Adam Bello, and in doing so, I-Square, you have to believe that Cheryl DeNolfo didn't see it, didn't know that he was going to release that statement. Well, she said yesterday, yes, that morning Bill Reilich sent an email over to our office, and it was a copy of the statement that was going to go out. But I didn't see it because he used a private email address, not my county one, and I just never saw it. You know, for example, I have a WXXI email account. I have a Yahoo email account. I see both every day. Cheryl DeNolfo is saying she didn't see her Gmail account email, and so therefore she didn't have advanced knowledge. Well, we also saw today that Bill Napier, her communications director, was forwarded that same statement that was going to go out from Bill Reilich. Did he not share it with Cheryl DeNolfo? Apparently, he did not, if you're going to believe the narrative that she didn't know. So there's a lot of assumptions that you have to use here, you know, regarding who knew what and when. And maybe that's fine. Maybe people are just ready to move on with this. Jim Shepard, regarding the email, who knew what, when, are you satisfied that you know the answers to those questions?
I don't. And I think yesterday part of what was said was that she doesn't use that email anymore. And I think that's a key piece because when her relationship with Bill, whatever it is, he felt comfortable sending it to that email address. And I'm going to assume that there's been communications using that over a period of time. And so I just thought it was disingenuous to say, I don't use that anymore, therefore I didn't see any of the emails that came into that account. again, as an employee and you have a supervisor, you would think that something of this magnitude would be something that would have also gone up the chain relative to a discussion saying, hey, Bill sent an email to me. This is the game plan. This is what we're planning on doing. And just getting either approval, feedback, disapproval or whatever, you would think that would just be part of the process as well.
I will also say, you know, I've never talked to Justin Roy about this. You know, I've met him over the years, and I've always thought him to be a nice person, someone who is, you know, he's not certainly at the center of government. But it would be an open invitation if he ever wants to talk about it. I know he has declined interviews so far on this, and I understand he may be in a difficult position. I would love for that to happen, and it will be an open invitation going forward for Justin Roy. I certainly don't want to make it seem, as John implied, that there's any animosity. I mean, I don't want anybody's family not to be able to get work. but I think we're trying to ask logical questions. Let me get Bill in Spencerport next up on the phone. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to address the news conference yesterday that Cheryl Denofo had. I know there's a lot of people that are upset about the fact that she didn't devote enough time for questions. And I'm one of those people, and I think the biggest question that would have been asked and, of course, went unanswered was, is she serious about that hair, and does she get paid for that?
Come on, Bill. Let's please avoid the ad hominems. That is not going to fly. Bill, if you want to say she should have taken more questions, you're not going to get any disagreement from me. But let's not go there, please. Let's not make it personal. I see the phone ringing. We're going to get back to the phones in just a second. I'll reset the hour and let you know that we're talking about Comita, what happens going forward, with Mark Moyo and Jim Shepard. They are Democrats in the Monroe County Legislature. Earlier this hour, you heard at length from the president of the legislature. That's a Republican, Anthony Danielli. He was not able to join us in studio because he is traveling today, but he did an extended interview by phone with us earlier this hour. We also reached out to the county executive, and we're told that she is not available to talk during this hour, that she had a prior commitment. When it comes to Comita going forward, Mark and Jim, what's the timeline here? Anthony Danielli is essentially saying he thinks this needs to happen pretty quickly, that they're going to get good people back on the Comita board, that this is an important agency that is going to continue to function. Mark, can Comita continue to function going forward the same way it always has, and are you confident that it will?
So I think there are some competing indications about whether Comita can work with three board members. I've read the Comita charter as well as part of the general obligations law, which is a New York State statute. The New York State statute seems to indicate that Comita cannot operate with three or cannot do business with three board members. However, the charter seems to indicate something different, that only more than half of the currently sitting board members need to show up. So the question is unresolved, and we'd need a legal opinion about that, taking those two sides into account, unless there's another side that I've missed so far.
Okay, Jim?
And I think going forward, the county has to separate itself from Comita. You know, right now it's run almost as a component of the county. And that separation has to occur, because then we can prevent similar incidents from reoccurring in the future.
Let me hit a comment from a listener named Tim, who emails and says he thinks that I-Square is basically getting a free pass here. And he says I-Square just did not build the building it promised to build in 2015. Tim is holding to this to the idea that Bill Rylick's attack was based on good information. But Tim, I would only say to that, Comita's official decision on this that they released, I mean, I think it was a week ago, 10 days ago. I don't remember exactly when it was. Comita's actual official position is that I-Square is not in default, is that they are meeting their benchmarks and that they are on time. I haven't been in every meeting, and so I'm not here certainly acting as an agent for the Nolans. I'm only telling you, Tim, what Comita as a board decided. That's all. That's all I know. Guys, am I wrong?
Evan, I was at the meeting last Tuesday.
Okay.
I believe it was last Tuesday.
Yeah.
And what occurred there was that Ms. Mazzullo read out a statement stating that the town of Irondequoit, or one of the taxing jurisdictions, the
school district, West Irondequoit,
had found them to be in compliance, and that there was no comment from the town of Irondequoit, and that Comita accepts the opinion of the taxing jurisdiction. So it was a closed case, that they found it to be in compliance.
Yeah, case closed there in Comita's eyes. But Tim, let me also just address one other point here. In the scenario in which what Tim is saying is true, that I-Square was technically in default because the second building that it had promised was not three stories, it was one, you know, it was a recycling center and not, you know, sort of a commercial entity. It certainly isn't a business that you would go to and say is failing. So when you have a political leader say that is a failure, there's a bit of a concern that that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. When it's one thing to say, hey, they're defaulting, they're not quite as on time as they, you know, or the second building is not what it's supposed to be. But that wasn't a building where there were tumbleweeds going around and that nobody was showing up here. So even in that scenario, Tim, I think a lot of people viewed it as a stretch to call it a failure. Cheryl Denofo would never said she would not have called it a failure. Jim Shepard, go ahead.
And I think that's a key piece, the fact that the county of Monroe and the county Republican chairman, made that determination that they were in default. That was not Comita making that determination, because obviously when they did make a determination, they said everything was fine. And again, when we talk about this, that is really the issue, because being able to reach into a county agency or be able to reach in politically to make something happen, this is a small matter. But think of the large things that could be impacted by that ability to reach into county government and make happen what you want to happen based on a political agenda.
Mark?
When I step back and I kind of examine my own biases in this, obviously I'm a political actor, but when I try and take a step back and examine it, I think to myself, you know, would a parent accept these types of misstatements, sometimes outright lies, obfuscations, and then not taking more questions to resolve the matter from their teenage son or daughter? And I think any responsible parent would have to say that they would not accept these types of misstatements, lies, and obfuscation from their own children. They'd have a sit down with them and say, you need to be truthful with us. And that's exactly what I called for back 2 months ago, to sit down, have a truthful conversation, find out what happened here. And as Jim has been indicating, make sure that there is integrity in Comita, in the County Development Agency, and make sure that people aren't acting outside of their roles and bringing politics into things that politics should not be involved in.
Let me get back to the phones. Dave in Rochester is next. Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, hi. I've been in the area for about 14 years, and Comita has always made me laugh in that some of the projects they actually support are retail operations or maybe a garage, a repair garage that can easily be duplicated by someone else who is not getting the Comita breaks. And I'm hoping that perhaps this will allow the county to go ahead and restructure everything to make it more transparent. And I really encourage the press to keep digging, because I'm quite concerned by the fact that we have I'm concerned about the employees of the economic agency there at the county level being patronage positions as is, as many, I think, county positions are. And as such, you know, what kind of levers are being pulled, as you've mentioned, on the by the local party establishment to make sure that certain projects do get vetted in one way and maybe others do not. And I just, as a taxpayer, I have no trust in the whole Comita process, because there is such a lack of transparency.
Yeah, Dave, thanks for the phone call. First of all, on the subject of Comita board members, they're not paid, as far as I know. I think they're volunteer positions. And I have not been able to convince any of the board members, past or present, to come on this program. But I've talked to a number of them, and I think they've been really surprised at this whole scandal, to the point where you've seen 4 out of the 7 resign. So, I mean, I'm a taxpayer too, but I take it at pretty good faith that these are folks who want to help the community, that they want to serve, they want to try to vet projects effectively, that they care about it. I think it's important always to have transparency to make sure that there isn't sort of, you know, too many cross political ties, political power, you know, sort of tax breaks, et cetera. And that's part of the press's job. That's part of, as Mark says, that's part of the lawmaker's job. And when it comes to transparency, as Dave said, I asked Anthony Danielli going forward, should the whole process change? And he said he's open to that, because in the past, nobody ever votes no at Comita on projects. But that's really, again, as I said earlier, because they kind of do this pre-vetting. But as Judy Seil said, I think it was a couple of years ago, well, they talk on the phone a lot. They interview, they talk it out. And then when it comes time to vote at public meetings, they've done all of that. But I don't get to see all of that. And Dave says he doesn't get to see it either. And now, as a taxpayer, he doesn't feel like he can really understand what's been vetted and why. So, Mark, does it make sense to see a little more transparency going forward?
Absolutely. I think that the board should be realizing at this point that there needs to be a little more transparency, maybe a lot more transparency, so that the taxpayers can have some faith in the taxpayer money being spent in a way that is proper and is a way that we know that we are actually enriching the community and not certain individuals who might have certain connections.
Okay, President of the Legislature Anthony Danielli said going forward he thinks Cheryl Donolfo essentially put to bed a lot of the questions yesterday, that he's ready to move forward. He thinks we've scraped the bottom of the barrel. He does not support any further investigation right now on this issue. Mark, 20 seconds. What's going on next, at least for the Democrats in the legislature? What do you think is going to happen next with this?
Well, both Legislator Shepard and I have asked the state authorities to get involved. For me, it's the comptroller. For Jim, it's the comptroller in the AG's office. So we're going to wait to hear back from them. We've exhausted all of our options here in the County of Monroe, as far as I can tell.
So as far as you know, there's no way to see that change because there's no ethics office right now. That could change later this year. When do you expect to hear back from the AG's office, the comptroller?
I don't have a timeline.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
Jim. Have you heard anything?
No timeline.
Okay. Could be days, could be weeks, I guess.
Probably.
Okay. Please keep us informed, and our thanks as well to not only Mark Moyo and Jim Shepard from the Monroe County Legislature, two Democrats on the legislature, but also Anthony Danielli for taking the time earlier this hour. He joined us by phone. He is traveling today, but he spent some time with us telling us his take on the issue with Comita going forward. Short break and more connections next. Stay with us.